And we're back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN. And for the rest of the show, we're going to be joined by Dr. Stephen Higgs. He is the director of the Biosecurity Research Institute. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brandon. Good to be on again. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing splendidly, thanks.
Did you travel for the holiday?
No, we were here with our sons, and I cooked the Christmas dinner, which is something I just love doing. So our oldest son, Nick, is in the Air Force. He came for Christmas. He went back to Ohio, and then he came for New Year's. Just crazy travel.
Yeah, I've spoken to him in the past. I think he's the one I've interviewed in the past. So he's doing all right in the...
He's doing well in that master's program in Ohio, in engineering, yeah.
Awesome. Well, glad to hear that. Glad everything's good with the family. We decided to bring you on here today and just kind of get an update on things with the BRI, and it's a new year. So, unfortunately, we're still talking about COVID-19. We'd hoped we'd be done with it by now, but that's still rearing its ugly head out there.
It is, yeah. I mean, it used to be cancer that was the C word, and now it's COVID, isn't it? So I'm like you, the sooner we can not be obsessively talking about COVID, it will be great.
Well, at this point, we hear so much about vaccines and the efficacy of that. We have this new variant, and there's so many questions. I feel like anymore, there's so much information; it's almost information overload.
It is, yeah, and it almost seems obsessive. And this is just my personal opinion. I mean, one of the things we do at the BRI is we do research on SARS-CoV-2, and we've done a lot of projects which contributes to the knowledge so that we hope to be able to inform people so that we get sort of what we call data-driven decisions based on fact, because the rules seem to change every other day, or it feels like that.
That's exactly right, yeah, and the rules do change a lot, and you guys early on did research on how COVID spreads through different animals and realized that it can't be spread through, was it mosquitoes?
That's right. Yep, we did the mosquito study, which was very widely broadcast around the world. That was good news. And then there's been studies in, mice, hamsters, ferrets, cats, pigs, what else? Oh, and deer. And there was a study on deer at the BRI.
And explain to our listeners why these trials with different animals are so important here to this type of research, because it seems to me a lot of them tend to mutate from animals to humans.
SARS-CoV-2 doesn't seem to be mutating in terms of which species it infects. I mean, it either infects or it doesn't, and that seems to apply, as far as we know, to all of those variants. But the importance of the research is certainly when this thing reared its ugly head and came over the horizon to sort of go global, we really didn't have small animal models, and those are essential for vaccine development. And knowing which species of animal the virus infects, how it replicates, how it multiplies in those animals, and how it could be infectious from those animals is very important. But that's not just for SARS-CoV-2, that's for any pathogen that infects humans, so-called zoonotic diseases that infect humans but come from wildlife species or whatever.
And we see this uptick in cases right now, and I have to think we saw a similar pattern last year at this time, and one would think that this is just the time of year we're in. It's colder, people are indoors more, and gathering with family, and it's going to go up.
That's right. I mean, it's nature, and I've told you before, nature is very creative. It enables these things to move and infect people in close contact, and we need to know about that.
Well, it's certainly frustrating. We're not further on with getting out of this global pandemic we're in, but we do seem to know more about that, and I always wonder here with. You guys have done a lot on trying to make sure we don't have anything happen to our food supply here in terms of animal outbreaks, African swine fever being one of them that's been largely researched. But you see the pandemic here and how it's affecting the whole world. God forbid we ever had something like that with the animals, we'd be in a real mess.
We are at threat from those. And, you know, when you think about the pork industry, a multi-billion-dollar industry, I mean, I think the U.S. is or was like the third biggest producer of pork and, I don't know, $7, $10 billion worth of exports. And African swine fever, as you mentioned, is a highly pathogenic organism virus that only infects swine. I mean, the one good thing about it, if there's something good about it, it doesn't infect people. But it's now in Haiti, Dominican Republic, it's basically 100 miles from mainland U.S. And this sounds like a silly thing to say. It's basically a sausage or a ham sandwich away from the U.S. because this is a virus that is very stable environmentally. It can survive in processed pork. So there have been major outbreaks around the world caused by people discarding ham sandwiches where the ham was made with infected pork. And heaven forbid, if that gets into the United States, our pork industry is going to be devastated potentially. And it would instantly mean that we couldn't export pork. I think we export about a third of the pork that we produce. And I love pork. I'm a big bacon fan.
Me too.
We had ham for Christmas. It will have an unimaginable effect on the U.S. way of life and our industry. How many people? There's over 50,000 employees, I think, who work in that pork industry.
Mm. Well, you mentioned it's not that far away here. So what's preventing that from getting into America at the moment? Do we have safeguards in place?
Well, we do. We've got a group at the BRI called the National Agricultural Biosecurity Center, you know, and they've done studies that show that a key vulnerability is somebody who brings in infected pork, possibly, you know, on a plane in their luggage. People like to bring their own food from where they grew up, and that is a very significant risk. That group did studies and looked at legal and illegal imports and sort of did the calculations, and that is certainly a significant threat. And, you know, we have a lot of travelers, maybe fewer now than we used to have because of SARS-CoV-2, but it could happen any day. And then we've got a researcher, Megan Niederwerder, who just got quite a, you know, over a $500,000 grant. Her work and some work by Jürgen Rick's group have been looking at contamination of animal feed. And they have shown that this virus, if it gets into animal feed, and which we import vast quantities of into the United States to feed our swine, that virus can survive in that feed and is a potential way that it could get into this country. That feed is produced in countries where African swine fever is endemic now. So that's a very, you know, great concern to our industry. You can't check everything that comes into the United States. You can focus your efforts to look and quarantine products, but you can't watch everywhere all of the time.
Yeah, that's a real struggle there. You mentioned endemic. Explain the difference between endemic and pandemic, because I don't think I even know
okay.
that.
Okay, so there's epidemic, which is when a pathogen sort of comes in unexpectedly and expands very, very, very rapidly. If that epidemic goes global, like COVID has, then that's a pandemic. And then endemic is frankly where we're heading with COVID, where it's in your location all of the time. It becomes endemic. It's like it doesn't go away. It may be seasonal, but it's in the country or in where you live. It's in that endemic area, as we call it.
Okay. It doesn't mean that it's over. That's
no,
kind of a misconception.
It sort of means that you've got to live with it. because it's probably gone beyond the point where you can control it.
All right. We have a caller here waiting on the phone that has a question or a comment. So, good morning, sir. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, the sun is always shining in Cayman as it is today. But to your guest, I would like to ask a couple of questions. Can you hear me all right?
It's a little tricky to hear you right now, Paul. Could you...
I don't have anything on my phone.
Yeah, I'm having difficulty, Brandon, in hearing.
Is that better?
Give it a shot. We'll see if we can make do of it here.
Well, I could call back in about 5 minutes. Maybe you better try that. Okay.
All right, I'll tell you what, let's take a break, Dave. We'll come back here more with Dr. Higgs in a moment here on News Radio KMAN.